Hi, good evening. This is Dr. Roger Murphree, thefibrodoctor.com, author of Treating and Beating Fibromyalgia and Chronic Fatigue Syndrome. Thank you for joining me tonight for the special edition of the first Tuesday of the month, Treating and Beating Fibromyalgia teleconference. Tonight, I'd like to share with you a little bit about the history and development of the Fibromyalgia Jumpstart Protocol that I outline in my fifth edition book, now in bookstores. This whole protocol originated 14 years ago when I started seeing and treating fibromyalgia patients. It was a way for me to address what I found to be the most important aspects of fibromyalgia. You see, the real challenge for a physician treating someone with fibromyalgia is they've got so many symptoms. And it's very easy to go down the rabbit hole and start treating each symptom. And if you're going the traditional route, that means that you start taking more and more drugs to treat different symptoms, which is could be Ambien for poor sleep, could be Lyrica for pain, could be selective serotonin reuptake inhibitor like Celexa for mood disorders. The problem with that approach that I learned pretty early on was that traditional medicine alone is a dead end for fibromyalgia. Certainly there is a place for the short-term prescription route, and there is a need for prescription medications, no doubt about it. If you've got a raging strep throat infection, then you need to get on antibiotics. The difficulty, though, in the fibromyalgia realm is that when you go the traditional route of just treating symptoms, that leads to side effects and more symptoms in fibromyalgia patients. Because what has happened in fibromyalgia, it's not a true illness. It's a syndrome made up of a whole assortment of different conditions and symptoms where the body has broken down. There's no drug that can correct broken down. It's just not what medicine does. If you've got high blood pressure, we can put you on a calcium channel blocker and we can get your blood pressure down. Now, again, we're treating the symptom because the cause of the high blood pressure could be stress, could be overweight, could be medications, could be lifestyle. There's certain things that could be triggering the high blood pressure, which is a symptom of the problem, which is your lifestyle. However, with fibromyalgia, because there's so many different symptoms, it lends itself to a bunch of different medications, which typically and not always results in very little, if any, meaningful, lasting relief from fibromyalgia. Now, there are people who I work with, and there's people on the line, and there's people that will listen to this recording, and they will say, I cannot live without my sleep medication. And I understand that. I really do. But what you've got to realize is no one has an Ambien deficiency. That's not how God made us. Something is preventing you from going into deep delta wave sleep, and it's not because you need Ambien. Now, if you've tried everything and they hadn't worked, I'm a pragmatist. I'm a realist. My goal is to get my patients feeling good again, to get them to get their life back. And sometimes that means that they're going to have to take prescription medications. The goal is to get them down to the least amount of prescription medications and certainly the least dose that they're dependent on to make these changes. And so the history of the Fibromyalgia Jumpstart Protocol that I want to talk about tonight, and I want to take your questions, was when I got into the realm of treating fibromyalgia, I found that there were some very common denominators with fibromyalgia patients. Number one, what I found and still believe to be the cause of fibromyalgia is that they became under too much stress, whether that was chronic stress or an acute stress like an illness or a surgery, or something came along and they were never the same again. It may have taken years before the straw broke the camel's back, or it could have been something that just happened immediately. But something came along. It could have been just as some people, they got older. But whatever it was finally caught up to them, and they became ill. And they went their traditional medical route, which meant that they went to their GP, and then they, you know, might have got on in the beginning because they have some aching muscle pain, a non-steroidal anti-inflammatory. The non-steroidal anti-inflammatory then perhaps led to them having difficulty with their sleep because it depletes your natural sleep hormone, melatonin. It could have, in this person's figurative person's imaginary person's case, led to high blood pressure because non-steroidal anti-inflammatories raise your blood pressure. It could have led to them having ulcers and stomach problems and being diagnosed with irritable bowel syndrome and then being put on additional medication because we know that happens. But what I found was that the number one reason people came down with fibromyalgia is their self-regulating, self-coping mechanisms had failed. And in the medical jargon, what we call this is the HPA axis. And that's the hypothalamus, the pituitary, and the adrenals. This is part of your autonomic or autopilot nervous system, which controls the different systems and regulates the different processes in the body. We don't have to think about taking 12 breaths per minute. We don't have to think about pumping blood to 60 miles in arteries and veins every minute. We don't have to think about regulating our blood pressure or pumping blood to muscles and to brain cells so that we get enough oxygen. Our body is this amazing healing dynamo that God created. And fortunately, we don't have to think about how to run it. It runs itself. It has an innate, inborn mechanism that does that for us. When we cut our finger, we don't have to think about the cut healing up. When we break a bone, now obviously we can use a little help, and so we get it set, or if it's really bad, we have a pin put in it. But it will mend itself regardless. Yeah, it will mend itself. We have a new stomach lining every 3 days, which the actual surface cells that contact food being renewed every 5 minutes. The body's always repairing, healing, repairing, healing, repairing, healing. But when it gets under too much stress, the HPA axis can no longer control the different systems in our body. So it can't control our blood pressure. So our blood pressure may go down. You may have low blood pressure. It cannot control our digestive system. So we start having problems with irritable bowel. One day we poop all day. The next day we're constipated, which we could poop. It controls our circadian rhythm, our sleep-wake cycle. So now we have problems winding down and being able to go to sleep, or we fall asleep and wake up in the middle of the night. It controls our hormones. It controls both our sex hormones and our other endocrine hormones like thyroid and the adrenal hormones, cortisol and DHEA. It also controls, to a large degree, our metabolism and also our neurotransmitters, which are our brain chemicals. So when the body breaks down, its HPA axis becomes compromised. Then we start to have all these different symptoms. There's no drug that can correct the HPA dysregulation. The only way to do that is to allow the body to heal itself. And what environment makes that the most likely thing to happen? That is, number one, take the stress off the body. Easier said than done for someone with fibromyalgia. Because every day they wake up sleep-deprived, they're under more stress. You know that to be the case. The longer you've had the illness, the more likely it is. You cannot handle stress. It's become more pronounced. It's become to the point that loud noises and lights, bright lights, crowds, these things are magnified now that for some of my patients, they can't even go outside. And because of this, you have to realize that the first thing that has to happen is you've got to build up some stress coping chemicals vitamins, minerals, amino acids, which make the stress coping hormones. That's where they come from. They don't come from a pill bottle. They don't come from a prescription. They come from the foods that we eat. And yet, unfortunately, most people with fibromyalgia, in fact, most people with any illness, in fact, most people in America, are a victim of the standard American diet, what we call the SAD diet. And we've been led to believe that we can get all the vitamins and minerals that we need from the foods that we eat. Now, granted, most of us consider that a vegetable is ketchup and French fries. Those qualify as vegetables. And the hamburger bun is the grain. And, of course, the hamburger itself is protein. Being a little bit facetious, but you know that this is correct. A lot of us, of course, those who are listening to this, have changed their diet, and some people have even gone on fad diets like the paleo diet, which I think is a very healthy diet, and have not seen but little if any results. But the diet that most people have consumed for a number of years and the lifestyle they've led of stressor after stressor after stressor after stressor and the excess weight and the other poor health habits of being sedentary and having years of stress, oftentimes is the thing that catches up with them, and it leads to the straw that breaks the camel's back one day, whether that's being fired from a job, or that's a divorce, or that's a surgery, whatever it is, something comes along and that's it. So 14 years ago when I started working with patients, I realized the first thing I had to do with these patients is I had to get their stress coping systems back online. The way to do that is to take the stress off the body. The number one stressor is poor sleep. If you're not getting deep restorative sleep, you're never going to feel good. You increase your inflammatory chemicals by 40%, so you have more pain. You drive down a certain, you increase a certain hormone called substance P, which lowers your pain threshold, so pain is magnified. It's intensified. You lower the neurotransmitter or brain chemical serotonin, which you need to be happy, to reduce anxiety, to help with mental clarity, to help regulate bowel movements and digestion, to help to raise your pain threshold, because a low serotonin state leads to a low pain threshold, pain is magnified. And that led to me doing the research back then, what was available for patients to do naturally, because my goal has always been treat the cause, not the symptom. Now, you could treat the cause of poor sleep with a drug, but now what do we know about sleep medications now? A new study came out late 2013, early 2014, and said that all sleep drugs, all sleep medications, doesn't matter whether it's a benzodiazepine, a tricyclic antidepressant, the metoclopramide, Ambien, Trazodone, Elavil, Xanax, Ativan, all those medications are associated with increased risk of all mortality. And they are linked to the same potential for death as smoking a pack of cigarettes. That's pretty scary. That should give people pause that they should do everything they can to figure out what is the cause of their poor sleep. And then that led me to discover what many of those causes were. And that's where specialized testing came in through functional medicine testing, which I do today. See, when you've got the illness like fibromyalgia, it's not good enough just to guess. That's what happens when you go the traditional route. Oftentimes, they don't really know what you have, but you got something, right? And by that time, after being to 12 different doctors over a seven-year period, now that's changed. Time frame has shrunk now. You usually get the diagnosis within 2 to 3 years now. But you still are passed from doctor to doctor. And, you know, if you've heard it once, you've heard it 1,000 times, all your blood work looks normal. And then you finally get the diagnosis with fibromyalgia, and it's really sad that's a happy day for you, because you realize at least you've got something. You're not crazy. You're not making it up. You're not a hypochondriac. And now you've got this diagnosis. Now, once you get the diagnosis, though, you've got to be careful, because then every doctor you see from then on out is going to sweep all your symptoms, all your complaints underneath the fibromyalgia rug. Any type of ache and pain, any type of problem with mind zaps, brain fog, low libido, low energy, weight gain, problem with your bowel movements, hair falling out, cold hands in your feet, all those symptoms are now going to be swept under the carpet, and they're going to tell you, oh, it's just your fibromyalgia. Now, part of that is they've already done a lot of testing. Nothing came back positive. But as you've heard me in past talks, or you've read in my book, hopefully, their testing is inadequate. They're trying to treat you as a traditional person off the street. And because of that herd mentality, we're going to do it like we've always done it. And because we're just going to do a TSH and a T4, we don't care about anything else about the other thyroid parameters, and those come back normal, there must be something wrong with you. You must be a hypochondriac. It's not me, the doctor, who doesn't take the time to listen or doesn't make the time to come up and learn the new latest studies, which are now dated some, 15, 20 years when I came across them and started using them. The problem with that mentality is so many people fall through the cracks because they're not getting tested appropriately. So 14 years ago, my goal was to develop protocols that would allow me to be able to lay a foundation to get people healthy. And now this jumpstart protocol that you read about in the book, it's helpful for the vast majority of people who do it, but not everybody. Number one, I don't have all the answers. And number two, if I'm not working with you one-on-one, I certainly don't know all the answers. If I'm working with you, then I can do detective work and figure out what do you need in additional to this protocol. The protocol is a starting point. The protocol is a way to level the playing field so now at least you can feel decent. You can get deep restorative sleep, start building up your stress coping chemicals, and from that, now you have the opportunity to at least start just healing yourself, have this HPA axis come online. Now, for many people, and I would probably say, half the population, they're going to need to do more than that. They're going to need to find out, do they have something wrong with the adrenal glands? They're going to need to find out, do they have leaky gut? Do they have yeast overgrowth? Do they have problems with an elevated cortisol level at bedtime? So that's where testing comes in. But having said that, the protocol, the Jumpstart protocol, lays the foundation to build around. And in my practice, whether I'm working with a patient from Australia or working with a patient in North America, or have a patient that's here in Birmingham, Alabama, 90% of them are going to do the majority of what I outline in the Jumpstart protocol. Now, most of them, like most people that I see, have either kind of tried that, it didn't work, or they only got so far, or they realized that they needed additional help, and they were proactive. They realized that, if they didn't do something, they were going to be the same way, in the same shape that they are now, a year from now, 2 years from now, 3 years from now, because they realize that guessing doesn't get it. So if the protocol doesn't take you where you need to be, doesn't get you back to being or having the vitality that you wish, don't blame the protocol. The protocol is to lay the foundation, and then you build upon that. So I say that to make sure, because I get people who say, oh, I tried the Jumpstart, took 5-HTP, it didn't work. Now, in further investigation, they didn't go by the protocol that's in the book. And because of that, they took 50 milligrams of 5-HTP for 2 or 3 nights, and it didn't work. It's probably not going to work at that dose. Or they took it incorrectly. So they took it, the big heavy meal, so they went to bed. Or they took it with some supplement that had a combination of a 5-HTP and another amino acid, which cancels the 5-HTP out. It's both a blessing and a curse to know all that I know about biochemistry. The blessing is that I can put it in a book, I can say it in a lecture, and I can use it on patients to make dramatic changes in their health. The curse is it drives me crazy when I see this crap that's on the internet and the crap that's put in books by people who don't know what the heck they're talking about. And then people try something that they think is supposed to be helpful. It's interesting that 14 years ago, no one was talking about 5-HTP, including Dr. Teitelbaum. Some of you know his name. He and I have lectured together in the past. In fact, and I'm not sure about his recent book, but his past books, he warned against taking 5-HTP. He said it didn't work, and you shouldn't try it. Now, what does he advocate now? 5-HTP. Because it works. 5-HTP worked 14 years ago, it's still working. Does it work on everybody? No, it does not. And that's where you need coaching. If it's not working, you need to work with a practitioner like myself that can help you work through these issues. Or you could spend another year trying to figure it out. If it works, fantastic. That's another step in the right direction. So the first thing I developed was sleep protocol, and that's using the 5-HTP, which boosts your natural sleep hormone melatonin by 200%. You could take melatonin, and some patients I do a combination of both, and I have a special formula that has the melatonin, the 5-HTP, and a special form of GABA, gamma-aminobutyric acid, that actually does cross the blood-brain barrier and works quickly, unlike what's mass-produced on the market, which does not work very well or very quickly. And that formula sometimes I use if needed. But what we're trying to do is boost that serotonin level. So 5-HTP plus certain B vitamins, B6, B3, B2, and magnesium and vitamin C, that combination is what makes serotonin. Serotonin doesn't come from Celexa or Cymbalta or Savella or Prestige or Paxil. It doesn't come from those medications. Those medications do not make serotonin. They help your brain hang on to what serotonin it has. They're a serotonin reuptake inhibitor. But if you don't have anything to reuptake because you've been under years and years of stress and you've bankrupted your stress coping chemicals, one of those being the hormone serotonin, those medications don't work. And that's why you want to use a vitamin, mineral, and amino acid protocol, because that's where serotonin comes from. It comes from these things, not from a man-made prescription tablet. The next thing I looked at with my patients beyond sleep was I had to come up with a way to help them be able to have resistance to stress. Because what would happen is fairly quickly at this point, for the majority of my patients, and I'm going to say for 85 to 90% of my patients, I'm able to get them in a deep restorative sleep to where they feel a dramatic difference within 2 to 3 weeks. And it's such an important step that I have become an expert at that. But what happens is once someone starts to actually go into that delta deep wave sleep and they start to make certain hormones in that sleep process, like human growth hormone and DHEA and these other stress coping and body repairing hormones, now the body's actually rested for the first time in years and you feel like doing more mentally and physically. The problem with that is you still have a very low level of stress coping chemicals, so your resistance and stamina to stress is very low. You can't do a whole lot or it's going to take it out of you. And you know, many of you, when you overdo it, you pay the price. You know, you have a good day and you go out shopping. Maybe you work a little late that evening, or maybe you do some extra yard work or housework or whatever it is. But sure enough, the next day or the next 2 days, you crash. And that's because you don't have that resistance, that stamina to stress. you get that resistance and that stamina by building up the stress coping gland, the adrenal glands. The adrenal glands produce several very important hormones, two of which are crucial for the resistance and stamina and stress, and that is cortisol and DHEA. Cortisol is our stress coping hormone that is released when we get under immediate stress, along with norepinephrine, which gives us drive, zip, ambition. If we stay under stress for a while, chronic stress leads to a diminished cortisol level. It actually starts to drop and eventually will go down to very low levels. When you get tested for this, the parameters for the cortisol is something, depending on what lab you go through, whether that's LabCorp or Quest or whomever you're using, but anywhere from 8 to 65. So if you're in that parameter, you're good. They tell you, oh, it's fine. Your cortisol level is fine. Well, if you come up as a 9 and the cutoff, you know, but 8 to 65 is normal, they're going to tell you you're fine. The problem with that mentality is we're as different on the inside as we are on the outside. Biochemically, we're very different. It may take one person may need 9 milligrams of melatonin to put them to sleep. Other people can smell melatonin that puts them to sleep. That, you know, that to be the case in your family, or friends, people that you know. One person can put away a 6-pack of beer and be fine, be coherent. Another person could drink half a beer and be loaded. We're different on the inside as we are on the outside. There's a very wide variance in our biochemistry. And because of that, we don't fit into little norms of what's normal. The bell-shaped curve for a medical misfit with fibromyalgia is meaningless. If you're low normal, you're low. If you're high normal, you're high. And doctors who follow the herd mentality and don't go the next step are quick to lump you in with the normal population. But you know you're not normal. Well, cortisol is key for helping you to have that stamina to resiliency. Now, when I had my medical practice for a number of years, when I had medical doctors working for me, we would use Cortef, which is a prescription cortisol. It's 1/5 the strength of prednisone. So it's still very, very safe to use, and the dose is 5 milligrams 4 times a day, so 20 milligrams a day. However, when I sold my medical practice years ago and started seeing patients solo again and doing it all natural, because I don't write prescriptions, it's not what I do. I'm not, as a chiropractor or nutritionist, allowed, nor do I wish to do that. There's certainly a time and a place, and I work with doctors when needed. But what I found was that patients who did that, went that route, almost always had to stay on that Cortef for years and years. If they ever came off of it, they crashed. What I found in my research was what they used before they had synthetic cortisol, they had glandulars, which was called ACE cortisol, ACE Cortef, ACE glandular, and that is an over-the-counter supplement. That, well, then it was a prescription. Now you can get it as an over-the-counter supplement. And you want to be very careful, and I spell this out in detail in the book. You want to use adrenal cortex and nothing else. You don't want to use whole glandular or adrenal because it will rev you up. It will further deplete and put too much stress on your stress coping systems. So you need to use adrenal cortex and only adrenal cortex. Adrenal cortex that I use comes from New Zealand, from grass-fed organic cattle who do not get mad cow disease. The cow can't get mad cow disease from eating cow. Eating grass. You get it from eating other cows. That's how mad cow disease comes about. So this comes from the adrenal glands of cows, and through a very specialized quality control program. And the supplement only has the cortisol and some DHEA, and that's it, and that's all you want to do. But you can read more about that in the book. But what I found, once I started using that in my practice, then I started seeing that people had more stamina and resiliency to stress. The next thing I looked at was, okay, they're going to have vitamins, minerals, amino acids, essential fatty acids, these building blocks that make these hormones. Because without them, they're going to stay deficient in the hormones. Yes, we can change their diet, and I do. I work with people on their diet. The problem with that is it may take years. Certainly it takes months to see any kind of change, and oftentimes it's not a big enough change to really make the dramatic difference that I or the patient wants. Long term, because that's what I work with my patients, I work on getting patients healthy. And long term, the goal is to change their lifestyle, to change them to one about health. And that does involve diet. But that's a long-term thing. Short-term, patients, when they consult with me, they want to see a difference in 2 weeks. And that's it. That's what they expect. 2 to 4 weeks is about what I got. If I don't make a pretty significant change in 2 to 4 weeks, I've got some grumpy patients. Because I'm pretty clear on the fact that if I take you, accept you as a patient, I'm very confident that I can get you feeling dramatically better within 2 to 4 weeks once I have the tests back, once I know where you're broken down. And changing your diet takes a good while to do that. So what I've got to do is use the right combination of vitamins, minerals, and amino acids and essential fatty acids, which make the hormones, make the neurotransmitters, make the brain chemicals, make testosterone, make DHEA, make cortisol, make serotonin, make dopamine. They make these things. They also allow your body to work correctly. They call them essential because you have to have them or you die. Without them, you would die. B6, some patients can't convert normal pyridoxin that they get in their food into the active form of P5P. And if you don't have P5P or B6, then you're not going to make the happy hormone serotonin. It just doesn't happen. If you get low in B6, you start having tingling in your hands and sometimes even in your other extremities as well, because B6 is needed for the nerves to be able to function, carry a transmission from one nerve cell to the next. B5 is the anti-stress vitamin because you have to have B5 for the adrenal glands to hang on to and use cortisol DHEA properly. You have to have that. Magnesium is an anti-stress mineral. It's in 300 different bodily processes. And when you're deficient in it, and probably 80% of Americans, unless they're supplementing with magnesium, are deficient in it, especially those with fibromyalgia. But when you become deficient in magnesium, and it's easy to do because the more stress you're under, the more magnesium you need, because it's part of the Krebs cycle. It's part of the energy cycle of every cell. It's what makes the cell function. So the more stress you're under, the more cells have to expend energy to deal with this stress, whether that's biochemical, physical, or mental, whatever it is. And more magnesium is needed and expended and eventually bankrupted. Magnesium is a natural muscle relaxer. It relaxes muscles, including the colon. Magnesium is needed to make the brain chemicals, serotonin, dopamine, norepinephrine, gamma-aminobutyric acid. Magnesium, when you're low in magnesium, you tend to have elevated blood pressure. It's a natural beta blocker. It's as good as most beta blockers. It certainly can't be used if you use the right strategy, and I go into detail about it in my heart disease, what your doctor won't tell you, but can be just as good as any of the blood pressure medications, certainly safer. It's a natural calcium channel blocker, certainly safer than Diovan or other calcium channel blockers, which increase your risk of heart attack by 500%. It's a pretty staggering figure, don't you agree? Magnesium is certainly safer than that. The most potential side effect you have of magnesium is a loose bowel movement. And for some individuals out there who wish they could use have a bowel movement every day, they like to lose body mass. Magnesium is oftentimes the key to reversing and correcting mitral valve prolapse. Magnesium, again, is a natural muscle relaxer. It's also needed for the cellular energy, so it helps with energy. So magnesium is critical. And I could go through the list, which I do, and make my case in my book, which is now some 560 pages, I think. The reason why is because I'm learning more every month, every year, and I put it in the book because I think people need to know about it. But a big part of that is, selfishly, it takes me a while to make my case that you can use vitamins, you can use minerals to make dramatic changes in your biochemistry, which changes your physiology, which changes how you feel. It changes your health. And it's all laid out in there. But I came up with the CSS Fibro formula years ago. Part of that was we would have patients that came in, and I would make these recommendations about what they needed to get, and then they would go to the health food store, and they would come back with pill bottle after pill bottle after pill bottle. They had 15 things they were taking. And some of it was worthless. Most of it was worthless. Some of it was okay, but it was the wrong doses. And oftentimes they would go to a health food store and they'd come out of there with, you know, stuff they didn't need. I mean, it was redundant. So they'd have a hair, skin, and nail formula, and then they have a B vitamin, you know, B complex, and they have a mineral formula. And, you know, there's so much overlap, such a mismatch of stuff. I started being very specific on what I recommend. And then people would come back with junk. They'd come back with a Centrum Silver or a One-A-Day or a Noni or a fruit vitamin or something, which is based on the RDA, which is 40 years out of date, which is the recommended disease allowance. It's just enough to keep you from getting beriberi or scurvy, but it's not going to make any difference in your health. What I use in my practice is based on orthomolecular medicine pioneered by Linus Pauling, one of the greatest biochemists in the world, two-time Nobel Prize winner. And his research showed, validated through orthomolecular research, and now taken up by functional medicine doctors, who Dr. Oz is now waving the banner, and I think it's great. Big Dr. Oz fan. But orthomolecular medicine is based on the fact that we are different on the inside as we are on the outside. So we have biochemical differences that for one person, they may need 5 grams of vitamin C. Another person, if they took 5 grams of vitamin C, they'd be in the bathroom all day. But we need different doses depending on the person's biochemistry, and we need to max those doses out to make changes in the physiology. Because if you are using a very low dose and it never clicks an enzyme, never unlocks a door that then opens up a pathway for this chain reaction to work, you never really get anything out of it. Now, you may prevent beriberi or scurvy, okay, but you're not going to then turn on the serotonin receptors to allow for more serotonin to flood the brain for you to then not be depressed. That's the power of biochemistry, and it's the power of using vitamins and minerals once you understand them. So I came up with the CSS Fibro formula, which is a very high-dose vitamin and mineral formula that has a very high dose of magnesium in it, which, again, is a natural muscle relaxer. It has malic acid, which is part of the Krebs cycle, helps to counter the effects of lactic acid, which is a built-up from not having enough oxygen in the muscle because of metabolism disorder that we see in fibromyalgia. Essential fatty acids, which is the fish oil, we know that omega-3 is one of the most potent anti-inflammatories, and it's a very potent antiviral, so it's in there for those with chronic fatigue syndrome. It's got special forms of B5 in there. It's got special forms of B6, and it's got all the amino acids. Amino acids are the building blocks for every tissue in our body. Amino acids are what make the brain chemicals. So you have to have them. There's 11 essential amino acids. If you don't have them, you die. Unfortunately, for fibromyalgia, they cannot convert, or many people can, I shouldn't say they all can, but many fibromyalgia patients have a genetic glitch to where they cannot convert tryptophan, which is the amino acid we get in proteins, certain proteins, into the active form of tryptophan, which is 5-hydroxytryptophan, which I've spoken of earlier, which then turns into serotonin with the help of B vitamins, vitamin C, and magnesium. So when I put that pack together, there was a reason for that, and it's changed over the years with the research, and it's going to change again here in the next few months to add some higher doses, hopefully of vitamin D. But that's what that is for. It lays the foundation for being able to fill up the stress coping savings account with the vitamins and minerals you need for the body to work correctly. The last part of the jumpstart is a digestive enzyme. And the reason why that was put in there is because most patients that I deal with have some type of digestive disturbance, whether that's GERD, heartburn, reflux, or irritable bowel, or just good old-fashioned, stomach pain. The surveys show that 73% of those with fibromyalgia have some kind of digestive issue. Usually, it's IBS. And what is typical, which is, what I've talked about tonight, is IBS is not a disease, by the way. IBS is a symptom. IBS, irritable bowel syndrome, is a symptom that your body's not working right. It's not a disease. It's a made-up disease for the pushing of more drugs. IBS comes about because you're deficient in magnesium, which is a muscle relaxer. That's one of the number one reasons. Once you start taking enough magnesium, your eye twitches go away, a lot of your tight, achy muscles go away, and your constipation goes away. One of the new drugs that one of my patients came, I came across, a patient I was consulting with by phone, was on Linzess, and I subscribed to the monthly prescribing guide, so I know all the new drugs when they come out. If you get the PDR, you got to wait a year, right? But there's always new drugs coming out every month, so you got to stay on top of it. So what I coach my doctors on. You got to know what these people are taking, and then you got to make sure you're very familiar with how it interacts with both the supplements and the drugs. Anyway, so this new drug, you may have heard of it because they're taking out very large paid ads, and I'm looking at an ad right now in Southern Living. And it's an ad for Linzess. And it says constipation that feels like bricks piling up, or belly pain and constipation that feel like a giant knot. For chronic idiopathic constipation, and if you don't know what chronic means, they go on to tell you that chronic means ongoing constipation. And idiopathic, for those of you who don't know, it's a big medical term, means we don't know what the hell caused it. It means that we don't know why you got it, but you got it, so we're giving you a pill, and that's what it means, unknown source. So they put you on this thing called Linzess because you're constipated, and they give you the diagnosis of irritable bowel C, irritable bowel constipation. Again, they're treating the symptom, not the cause. Wouldn't it make more sense if you were deficient in magnesium, you just start taking the magnesium? Now you start having a daily bowel movement, so your stomach pain goes away, the bloating, the gas, indigestion. But now you also have less achy muscles. You stop having restless leg syndromes, which is waking you up in the midnight with Charlie horses because your muscles never can relax, and they're going into spasm because they don't have enough magnesium. It could be that you're taking a pain medication, which would slow down your bowel movements. It could be you're taking one of a number of drugs that can slow down your bowel movements and cause you to be constipation. Could be that you have low thyroid and you have a doctor that's not properly diagnosed you, and you'll go years and years and never get diagnosed and have a low metabolism and continue to gain weight and feel depressed and miserable because your doctor is not doing the right test. Drives me crazy. But irritable bowel syndrome is a symptom, not a disease. I find that that's the easiest thing to correct in my practice because what I'm doing is I'm addressing causes. if the cause is the person's got a terrible diet, number one, we clean the diet up. But number two, if they're not digesting their food and they're not breaking it down properly, so now it's sitting in their stomach and they have, they have constipation, so now they start having reflux and all these other things. A part of that is because after the age of 30, we're more likely to have digestion issues because our pancreas and our stomach have become depleted in certain enzymes to help us break down food. Unless you're eating a very clean, healthy, whole food diet, which most of us have not done, what should happen is that when you eat live foods, fruits and vegetables, those fruits and vegetables have enzymes in them so that when you start to chew them up, the enzymes are released. It helps to break down that food and anything else you're eating with that food. But if you're eating cardboard food, man-made, fake food, like Cheetos and chips, and, you may get a fruit in once a week or a vegetable in once a week, and again, the vegetables catch up. If you do that for a number of years, eventually your pancreas, which is now having to work overloaded and overworked, is releasing so many additional enzymes, pancreatic enzymes, to digest primarily fat and protein, eventually it gets sluggish. So it's not working very well. And you get a thing called malabsorption syndrome, where you really are not breaking down and absorbing your food. So then one of two things happens. Either everything comes to a screeching halt, so you get constipated, or number two, you can't break it down, and so the body, the stomach, then the GI system becomes inflamed, and you poop it out as quick as you put it in because it can't break it down and use it. And it becomes this cycle of going back and forth between those things. But irritable bowel syndrome is not a disease. It's a symptom. And that comes to me, returns me back to this whole thing. With the CFS fibro, my goal was to lay the foundation to give people the ability to start to, whether they came to see me, at that time I only did inpatient or in-clinic patient consults. Now I do phone consults with people all over the world. But at that time, people had to come to see me. My goal was to write something, get something out there, and also my lecture, so that people would have something they could do on their own until they found a doctor that knew what the heck they were doing or they came to see me in Birmingham, Alabama. Obviously, that's changed. One of the things that also changed about that whole process was years ago when I had my medical practice, we used to do intravenous IV therapy, and you can read about that in the book. And we did that because early on I saw that people who were getting high doses of vitamins and minerals through IV had less pain, slept better, their moods were better, and had more energy. Well, the problem with doing IV therapy is that, number one, the cost, $70, $75 an IV, and then, of course, you had to drive to see us at the clinic, and then you had to spend an hour or two, getting your IV, and, of course, it's uncomfortable, obviously. So that led me to really ramp up what I was doing with this multivitamin program, and eventually we found, or I found, doctors would agree with me, back then as well, as we found that we could do it by the vitamin route. We had such good, clean, pharmaceutical-grade products that we were getting from the vendors that we were working with that created these products for us, that we were getting the same results with the vitamins that we were with that IV at a fraction of the cost and certainly a lot more convenient. And so we did away with that. And that's really one of the things, the catalyst was for me to see that, we really didn't have to do intravenous IV therapy to get these type of results. Now, again, the Jumpstart Pack doesn't work for everybody. There's four products in there. And, I really don't talk very often about these products on this call. Rarely do I ever talk about them. It's in the book. I don't really push it in the book. Maybe some people, when they read the book, may think that I did. Tried to, in this edition, to try to push it less. And the reason why is is I wanted people to realize that there's going to be a population out there who's going to need more than just this. This is just the starting point. I find that 70% of people I work with are going to need to do thyroid replacement therapy, usually over the counter. Usually it comes from the thyroid that I use in my clinic and that I recommend and we send to the patient. I find that there's probably 20% of my practice have some kind of leaky gut or intestinal overgrowth, you know, some kind of bacteria or yeast that's going to have to be dealt with. And that's a whole other protocol. I find that, you know, the majority of the people I work with are very complicated, and because of that, they're going to need more detective work, and they're going to need, whether that's a Lyme test or whatever it is, they're going to need more testing, and they're going to need more detective work to figure them out. But again, this is a good start, and I want to make it clear that if you do go this route or if you've gone this route and it doesn't work, it doesn't mean that high doses of vitamins and minerals, functional medicine, orthomolecular medicine doesn't work. It doesn't mean that at all. It just means you're very complicated and you're going to need more than that. Early on, I found that I could do this and I would get incredible results. And still do, by the way. I've had patients that would order from us or we have a relationship with a fulfillment site in New York who handles all this, so we don't really fool with a lot of this in our clinic in Birmingham. But we have patients order regularly from Singapore and from Pakistan and places, and they do it because it works. If it didn't work, they wouldn't order it because not only do they pay the monthly fee, but they're paying these huge shipping costs, sometimes $100 or more to get the product in. And obviously, if it didn't work, they wouldn't do it. But what I found is there's people, it seems like now, people are more broken down than ever. They're more difficult than ever. And because of that, you're going to have to look at what else is going on to get to the next level. And I talked about this last week. There's certain things you got to do. And then oftentimes there's some other stuff on the periphery that's going to have to be dealt with before you make that final breakthrough that allows you to consistently feel good day in and day out. And the decision you've got to make for those listeners is you got to make, do you want to keep guessing or do you want to get some expert help? And that's not a decision I can make for you. What I've finally, I guess it's finally become an irritant to me, but I finally have decided I'm fed up with people who complain either on Facebook posts or emails or calls to my clinic that they don't feel good. And either that they complain about I'm charging too much for my book or that I won't get on the phone and speak to them free of charge or that they took supplements from Walmart and it didn't work. I'm finally fed up with the fact that, you know, you can't be passive with this illness. You can't do it because another year is going to go by and you're still going to be in the gutter. You're still going to feel bad. And there's no one to blame for that but yourself. And if you're not being proactive and working with a doctor after reading my book, if that book makes sense to you, and I bet you of the 100 people that read it, 99 will say that it resonates and makes total sense to them. If that book makes sense to you, or these calls make sense to you, or my free online videos, or my free blog, or my free stuff on the website, all the articles, why? If you're still struggling, why? You've got to find a doctor that practices like I do, or there's no excuse, or call me. Come to Birmingham if you're uncomfortable doing it by phone. I had a patient last week, drove from Canada. Now, that's proactive. Drove from Canada 15 hours to see me. Had a patient the week before, flew down from Wisconsin, Well, you don't have to come to Birmingham. You can do it by phone. I do consults with patients all over North America. I can order blood work. You can go in your town. You can get the blood work done. I order test kits that are sent to you, that are mailed to you. You do the test kits. You send them in. Now, we get the data back. We come up with a battle plan. I look at all your old records. We do all the medical requests. We get all the records. I go through those because I look at things differently. I'm looking for clues. I've got my Sherlock Holmes hat on. I'm being a detective. I'm trying to figure out what in the heck is going on that made you break down. I'm looking for causes, not treating symptoms. So if you've been vacillating back and forth about should you do this, should you do that, maybe my sister-in-law, who's in this new multi-level marketing supplement company, maybe they got something for me. I mean, you can keep going that route, but I'm here to tell you that is fruitless. So you read these stories. Every once in a while I get them because I get, you know, I'm fairly well known in the natural community. So I'll get anybody who's got a new supplement du jour or earthworms, you know, whatever is out there that's going to cure, you know, warts and things, they'll approach me. You can try that. But if it hadn't worked now and you've been doing it for 4 or 5 years and going from traditional doctor to another traditional doctor and getting on hoping that the Lyrica is going to work, which it doesn't, or the Savella is going to be the answer. It's not. The only person, and this is just tough love, and I know my audience. I mean, I know. There's people out there thinking, well, he's just a jerk. He doesn't know what I go through. I do know what you've gone through. I've been doing this for 14 years. I work with fibromyalgia patients every day of the week and have been. So I know exactly what you've gone through. I know more about it than any other doctor out there, what you've gone through. I mean, I listen to it. I'm empathetic to it. It's my whole life. But I also know that you can't keep complaining if you're not being proactive. And again, it's tough love, and you know, everybody has different situations. It could be financial. It could be pressure from a spouse. It could be whatever. But I'm here to tell you that there's always ways to overcome that. I've worked with patients who couldn't scrape two pennies together. We figured out how to work out a program for them. I've worked with patients who literally separated from their spouse. And it was the healthiest thing they ever did, because now they got away from this cancer that was beating them down, telling them it's all in their head, and that it was their fault that they, you know, they were just lazy. So I've worked with all sorts of folks, and there's always a way when you're ready to do it, God will provide a way. That's how it works. I truly believe that. Okay, so. What I'd like to do, and run everybody off of that sermon, what I'd like to do is take your calls and take your questions here if I can. Now, this is how we need to try to do this. So, we ran pretty late. So I apologize. That's my fault. I didn't mean to go so long here. This last 30 minutes just flew by. But what I would encourage you to do, if you've got a question, get in here, get on here, okay? Because you're not going to have a long time here. We're going to run out of time. And what you need to do is you need to, listen, let me open up the phone line here. I'm going to. Okay, now here's the trick to this call. You have to hit *6 on your phone to become live on, so I can hear you. You're muted. I have you muted so that I don't get a lot of background noise. If you hit *6, you will come onto the line. You need to state your name. Hi, this is Sally. That way I can call you out individually because there may be two or three people who come on at the same time, and I will get to each one of you, but I need to be able to call out your name so we won't have two or three people talking at once. So if you've got a question, please hit *6. After you ask your question, you need to hit *6 again or self-mute yourself so we don't have a lot of background noise, okay? All right, first question.
Yes, this is Linda.
Hi, Linda.
Hi, how are you? I was told by my original doctors when I was very, very first diagnosed that a head injury possibly could be the reason for the fibromyalgia. I had a head-on collision, had a very, very severe concussion, and then within a year ended up having a hysterectomy and various other things that were stressors in my life. And I was just curious if you concurred with that particular diagnosis.
Well, what we know is, and I don't know about your diagnosis, but what I do know is that 13% of people involved in a motor vehicle accident, so a trauma, go on to develop fibromyalgia.
Okay.
And then you also have a condition called Chiari syndrome. If you're not familiar with that, you should Google that and learn a little bit about that and make sure without any kind of trauma that that's not an issue. But certainly that can bring it on. You can have a trauma, and that, you know, it could be a physical trauma, it can also be emotional trauma. But physical trauma certainly can bring it on, absolutely.
Okay. I don't know if there's anybody else online or not.
If you got a question, ask away.
Okay. One of my questions, I've been doing all sorts of different things, and I've tried the Savella, and I've gone off of it because I just didn't feel like it was something that did me any good, and it was just making my brain fog so much worse. And so now I've pretty much gone to just basically vitamins and things like that. But what I wanted to know on the Jumpstart program is it something that I need to get with you on as a consultant, which I will do, to get you to do blood work? Is that my best choice for that before I start the Jumpstart program, or would it be better to go ahead and start it, see if that has an effect, and then if we need more, then go to that point?
Well, there's several avenues that I can work with somebody, okay? So
okay.
The first way is someone can go on my site, and we've got all kind of free information on there. So that's
right.
That's
been
one
there.
Step. Okay. Next step is the book. And you take the book, and there's protocols in there. That's the next level of, you know, being proactive. Then the third level would be to do the Jumpstart protocol, which is you purchase the supplements. You can go online and get those or call
right.
the clinic either way, whatever you're comfortable
mm-hmm.
with. But and then you start that. And there's handouts that tell you, and also the book will tell you how to do that. Then, the top of the rung there is actually you set up a phone consult or an inpatient consult. I go through all your labs that you've had done previously, if you got them, look through your notes, go through all the questionnaire. And it's kind of lengthy, but it's
sure
there. It's a lot of, you know, anyway, a lot of detective work in the questionnaire you fill out. From that, then I make my recommendations about what I think is probably being missed. And if
okay.
you're on medications, what's probably complicating, what's, you know, what you're not. And then I make recommendations about what testing I think needs to be done and why. And then what my best recommendation for us to work for is going to be. And then we formulate a battle plan. We start working depending on the person, you know, could be weekly. And we're working together to or biweekly depending, but then it's working together. Yeah. So you can do it. You know, those are the different ways you can go about it.
Would I'm going to be coming to Atlanta in the first week of June. Would it be? I live in Texas. Would it be better for me to go ahead and come into the clinic and make an appointment to do that, or would it be better to do the phone calls consult? Excuse me.
It, you know, I love seeing people face to face. I love that, but either way, it's fine. You know,
okay.
You go,
all right.
Yeah. Either way.
Okay.
Either way.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
Thanks.
I think that answers the question. I've been reading all the stuff online and trying to. I went to the fibromyalgia treatment centers and did the whole realm of the intravenous and all that, and basically just flat ran out of money.
It's too complicated.
And so, yeah, it was just, well, and you smelled like, horribly eggs after you got done with it. I mean, it was just really not a good thing. And so I did try that, and it did help some, but it was just too complicated, like you said. And so, but I'm looking for an answers and wanting to get better. So that's my big thing. So thank you so much for your help and for your answers.
You're welcome.
I will figure out what my next step is.
Okay, great. So any other questions you want to come online, because we'll wrap up here soon. Juno, who many of you may have spoken with, you call my clinic, that's who you'll speak with. My assistant has been working with me for about 8 years now.
Okay.
But Juno was actually the...
Roxanne?
Hang on, Roxanne. I'll take your question. Just say, so Juno was my IV, one of the IV nurses at my medical practice. And now when I sold that practice, she left and came with me. But that's who you'll, when you call the clinic, that's who you'll talk to, and she's awesome. She's just a wonderful, wonderful person, and knows more about fibromyalgia than most doctors do. So she's just a great resource. But okay, Roxanne, you got a question?
Yes, my question is, I've tried everything, all of the pharmaceutical medications for fibromyalgia. I had side effects from each and every one of them, and over the years, the only thing that they give me is pain medication. I did watched your web thing, and I finally felt like I've got hope now. So I did buy your book. I have started the 5-HTP, and that's working wonderfully for me, getting my sleep and being able to sleep through the night. I mean, I wake up, but then I go right back to sleep, which hasn't happened in years. I started magnesium, but I'm titrating up on that now because I got the IBS. But there's a little wrench. I had gastric bypass surgery. And I'm not sure. I know I have an absorption problem from the surgery, but even before that, I have a vitamin D deficiency. I mean, I could go on and on. But my question is, like, how am I want to get off of pain medicine. Like, I have the patch, 175 milligram patch, plus for breakthrough pain. I cannot move without those pain medicines, but my goal is to get off of them.
Yeah. How long have you been on the pain patches?
Almost a year.
Okay. Well, there's, I don't know how else to say it, but there's hope for you. So I'm not anti-pain medication. In fact, some patients, I'd go out on the street and buy it for them. You know, the thing is eventually it quits working. And that's the problem. That's the problem with it is you start off with Ultram, then it's Vicodin, then it's, Oxycontin, and then you keep going, and eventually you run out of things. And then what do you do then? Go years and years and years, it does so much biochemical damage. You know, there's just, if I get a patient that's been on pain meds for 15 years, I'm really limited what I can do, usually. So, but you haven't been on it, you've been on a year. So you've got all kind of opportunities. Now, the other great optimistic thing makes me optimistic was you said the 5-HTP worked. So that tells me that all these other things didn't work, not because you had chemical sensitivities where you couldn't take things. You can. It just they didn't work because they were treating symptoms. So I'm very optimistic that you can feel good again, and I'm very optimistic that you could reduce the pain, to either be able to reduce what you're taking or hopefully totally come off of it.
I would love
Can I ask
that.
How old you are? How old are you?
40.
So you're young. You're younger than I am. The thought of being on pain meds for the next 30 years that's why you're trying to get off of them. So, I mean, I salute you for, trying to do something different. Yeah.
So I think, how do I arrange a phone consult?
So what you would do, Roxanne, is you call Juno, and the number at the clinic is on the website and on the thefibro.com blog, but it's 205-879-2383.
Okay.
And you'll get Juno on the line, and she sounds like, you know, she came right from the from the woods and from the south, which she did, in a little small town, and she's sweet as honey and wonderful.
I live in New uh-huh. Jersey. I didn't go out of my house for the entire winter, more than five times all winter, mm-hmm. because I just mm-hmm. can't move. We actually have our house up for sale, and we're moving south because of my fibromyalgia.
Well, yeah, that's moving south is a smart move. I don't see how my patients take those winters. When I'm talking to people a couple of weeks ago in Illinois that had all the snow, and people in New York and Wisconsin, I just think, whew. But I would love to I'd love to help you any way I can.
Okay, you will be hearing from me.
Okay, great, Roxanne. Look forward to talking to you.
Okay,
so we've
got.
You're welcome. And again, I apologize for running later. I'm probably people had to bail out on the call because it's late Eastern time. I don't know. Of course, people with fiber don't sleep anyway. So was it that? But if you do have a question, please, I'll hang on the line for a little longer tonight and do my best to take your question if you got it. So if you got a question, you just want to hit *6 and you can come on the line.
Yes, this is Deborah.
Hi, Deborah.
Got a question. With the fibromyalgia, why is it that we off balance a lot? I've had ear, nose, and tests, allergies, MRIs, and all of the tests come back negative, but I'm always off balance.
Mm-hmm. Mainly because you're weird.
Well, yeah, true.
No, but I mean, you're led to believe that, right? But, you know, really, you are kind of weird. You're strange. And the reason why you have so many symptoms, including being oftentimes uncoordinated, and there's people who, you know, can't hang on to anything. They're always dropping stuff. But the imbalance issue is because your hypothalamus pituitary adrenals, part of what it does is control your balance and coordination. And so when it gets dysfunctional, that's one of the things that shows up as well. And that's the thing with fibro. You can get all these strange symptoms that when you hear them as a doctor, you think, number one, no one can have all those symptoms. And number two, how could you have all these different things and your blood tests come back normal?
Yeah.
But you can't measure that in a blood test. And that's what intimidates and frustrates doctors, makes them feel stupid because they don't know what to do with you. So they send you out to see, do you have an inner ear infection, which is smart. You need to have all those workups. But when it comes down to it, oftentimes it's just the fact that your body is so broken down. Now, you could have a thyroid issue too, but there's several things it could be. But a quick answer to it, if you have the evaluations, is it's just this broken down self-regulating mechanism that's not working correctly. It explains why people have hot flashes and why they're cold and when they should be hot and hot when they should be cold and, you know, all those different things that show up there are so strange.
Yes, I was going to set up an appointment because I live in Auburn, Alabama, so not far
from
War
Eagle.
Yeah. And so I got to get some kind of relief because I can't function. You know, 3 weeks straight being off balance, people thinking, you know, I'm going to drinking.
Are
don't
you
drink
taking
alcohol at all?
Yeah. Are you taking medication? Are you taking any prescription drugs for your fibro?
No, not at all.
Okay. Because that's the other thing you want to investigate, which you're not. But for those that are listening, that this may apply to, you know, Lyrica can cause that, gabapentin, Neurontin, pregabalin, some of the benzodiazepines can do that. Even some of the beta blockers can do that, and you got to suspect everything. Even Ambien can do that. So, yeah, well, I'd love to help you when I can. And you're in Auburn, so yeah, you could you can make the drive up from shop in Birmingham and you know, after you see me or something.
Yeah, then we'll make that appointment real soon.
Okay, great.
Well, I enjoyed the conference.
Luann.
Thank you. Okay, any other questions this evening?
Luann.
I'm sorry, Luann?
Luann, yes.
Luann, I'm sorry, Luann. Go ahead.
I just had turned 50 a while back, and I was working two jobs, and I ended up getting klutzy and broke my three bones in my right arm. And since then, the fibro, I already had severe fibromyalgia, but now it's really kicking my butt. If I start on that packet, is that where I should start?
Yeah, that's where you should start. I mean, what happens, the pain is magnified when your stress coping chemicals are depleted. It's magnified when your serotonin level's low and you get an elevation of substance P that I talk about in the book. So it's the place to start. It's the process, you know, it lays the foundation for your body to start getting healthy. And as it gets healthy, a lot of things just disappear. I know that sounds kind of crazy, but early on, years ago, in the beginning, I was very, very intimidated by many of my patients that would come in to see me. And I would lay awake at night thinking, my gosh, does Karen have a brain tumor? Does she have lupus? Does she have, you know, they could, because there were so many weird symptoms, I didn't know what to do with them. And fortunately, I learned, or God led me in the right direction, that you just got to get healthy. Once you start providing the body with the raw ingredients it needs to correct the biochemistry, all sorts of symptoms improve. Sometimes just go away. And a lot of times you can't even explain it. Don't know what caused it. Don't know why it went away. Just the body got healthy. So I'm not here to tell you that all your pain will go away. What I am to tell you is that whole program is designed to raise your pain threshold so pain is less intense.
At this point in my life, I'll take anything. I'm so tired of it.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
Like, oh.
Did you get pins put in? Did you have to have pins put in your arm?
No. It was a workman's comp case, so it's healed, but it's not, you know, 100%. But I just left it because then I have to be off work again and then go through the whole spiel and...
So it really never healed like it should have. I mean, it's healed up, but it's not 100% problem.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
But I just want to be where I don't have to take naps all the time, and
mm-hmm.
I want to be me again.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, yeah, so that's certainly one place to start. Another place to start is to set up a consult, read the book. I mean, there's all kind of avenues that I put out there to help people, whatever you're most comfortable with. But do something, you know, do something. If what you're doing now is not working, do something different. And
well, I've had it since 05, 06, somewhere in there, and I was controlling it pretty good. Learning how much I can work and everything, but then my life has always been a little stressful. I had a few deaths in the family, so it's gotten worse.
You're working two jobs.
Yeah, I was. That didn't work.
Yeah, I mean, that's with fibro. That's playing with fire.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what happened is this, you know, this break is kind of a straw that broke the camel's back, and you're really having a hard time even getting back to where you were before. So you're going to have to really work to build up your health. You know, you're going to have to get healthier, and you're going to have to replenish your stress coping chemicals, build up your pain blocking hormones, and take some stress off your body. I mean, you're just broken down.
Walking skeleton.
Well, I'd love to help any way I can. I mean, I'd love to do it. So, you know, you certainly can give the jumpstart program a try. You can go on the website and read more about that, or you know, call the clinic if you got questions. And then feel free also, I'd love to help you with a phone consult, whatever is best for you or anybody that's listening.
Yeah, I'm in Minnesota, so it's a little ways.
Well, it doesn't matter. 90% of my practice phone consults. I have patients
okay.
in Australia and New Zealand and Guam, Pakistan, if you can believe that, Pakistan. So the phone is, you know, the phone makes it all possible. And then the fact that I can write a prescription to go get lab work anywhere. Yeah.
Okay, that's good. Well,
okay.
Thank you so much.
Well, you're welcome. You're so welcome. I wish you the best and look forward to talking to you. Okay, so if we got, I'm gonna take a couple more. If we got a couple more questions, I've already run late. So if we got any people that are hanging in there, any last questions? Okay, again, I really apologize for going kind of late tonight, and I appreciate you hanging in there to get your questions to me at the end, and I hope that I was helpful. I'm really adamant now in these calls about pushing people to do something, and I think I have, I've just come to the decision I can be perceived a certain way of being pushy, that it's all about me, that I'm the only person that can help people, and I'm telling you to come see me. I'm not. But if I don't say that, then I'm going to be doing what I'm telling my patients not to do, and that is to be passive. And I've come to the realization that, unfortunately, there's not a lot of people who know what the hell they're doing out there. Sorry, but it's true. And people are falling through the cracks. They're not getting better. They're getting worse. They're made to believe it's all their fault because it's their fault the drugs didn't work. And I'm getting these people 5-6 years down the road, and I don't want that to happen. So I may come off as a prima donna. I may come off as an egomaniac. I may come off as a huckster. Whatever it is, I really don't care. I know what my mission is, and I'm going to be very vocal about it from here on out. And people can choose to work with me in any level they want to. They can work with me without spending a penny. That's my design that happen. And I will do these free consults, telephone presentation consults that I'm doing tonight. I will make stuff available in my blog. I will make stuff available on my website. I will make books that are 560 pages for $20 on Amazon. So I will do these things, but I'm also not going to not tell people to pick up the phone if they've been struggling and call and get a health coach that knows what they're doing to get them well. So if that resonates with you, then do it. If it doesn't, then that's fine. You're not ready yet. But don't make excuses for not doing something. If what you're doing is not working, you've got to do something different. I also have been working on this for a year, and it's finally coming to fruition. It's been a lot of work and blood, sweat, and tears, but I am launching the Functional Fibro Doctors Network, and that will allow me to start recruiting and training doctors to use the same type of testing and treatment protocols that I've been using successfully for the last 14 years. My goal is to get a doctor and every doctor trained in my protocols, and they certainly can do their own thing too. I don't have all the answers. I don't. I'm very good at what I do, but I don't have all the answers. But my goal is to get like-minded individuals out there, get them trained to be consistently successful with fibromyalgia patients, and have enough doctors so that we have one in every, at least every large city in America. And then my goal is then to take that overseas, because I get emails from patients who are struggling in Europe and in Asia and all over the world. It's not, this is not a North American disease. It's worldwide. By doing this, it's going to allow me now to be able to take people in eventually, but my goal is then to be able to promote this through my work and lectures, and then people will be able to come to the site and find a doctor in their area that they can go to in person. So they don't have to do a phone consult with me if they don't want to. They'd rather see somebody locally, they can do it, they'll have that option. And that's my goal, is in the next year to have enough doctors trained where we can really make a difference in the fibromyalgia community, and we can have a movement to where people realize they've got a place they can go where they're understood, they're going to be listened to, and they're going to be taken care of in a way that they should be taken care of. So I'm really looking forward to that, and you'll be seeing more about that in the coming weeks and months. For the next several Tuesdays, all through May, I'll be doing these telephone conferences. And so this number will probably stay the same, but you can check. If you've registered, you should get an email if you have any questions. But it should stay the same. And I'll be doing it at the same time, Tuesday night each week. And I would encourage you, if you've got support group friends or you got other people with fibromyalgia, or you've got a spouse that doesn't understand what the heck this is, that needs to understand what you're going through, I would encourage you to, you know, get them on the call, and I'll be happy to take questions at the end of any of these presentations. And so I look forward to having you on the call next week or talking to you in person soon, and I wish you the best. This is Dr. Roger Murphy, thefibrodoctor.com.
Dr.